So as we bring our Easter season to a close, next week we've got Pentecost, the end of the Easter season, entering back into ordinary time, but the first 2 weeks of ordinary time are Corpus Christi, the Holy Trinity, and then Corpus Christi, a month of very deep theological messages. But no matter how deep a theological message is, it's always got to have something that we can bring home. It's always got to be pertaining to our life in this world as well. Today we have these readings that point to this tension that we live in between here and now and the fulfillment. We know that these promises will come about. We look forward to them, but we don't know what they will be. We don't know what it will be like. And sometimes we know that, or we always know that it's not about being an idle expectation, waiting around like the apostles, looking up at the sky as Jesus had been taken away and we're waiting for him to come back. No, we're called to live in a dynamic expectation, continuing to build his church, striving to complete what he began some 2,000 years ago. Our first reading and our gospel both cover very similar ground. They both are Christ's last moments here before ascending. But two different perspectives, one in the gospel from Matthew, one in the Acts from Luke. In our gospel, we know that Jesus is returning to the Father. We know what had happened between his 40 days after his resurrection. As he has appeared and disappeared, he was not instantly recognized. Oftentimes, he wasn't recognized until he did something that reminded them of what he had done before. Whether it was feeding of the 5,000 and breaking of the bread, the Last Supper. Whether it was this tremendous catch of fish on the Sea of Galilee, reminding them of their first calling, or whatever it might have been. Their relationship has changed and was continuing to change, but it was only the beginning. So Christ comes and he gathers his 11 and he brings them to this mountain in Galilee where they doubted as well as worshipped. This tension between what we have now and what we will expect. And that's the same for us. We can come and worship, but we don't have a full understanding. We don't comprehend everything. And so sometimes that can lead to some doubt as well. This back and forth of the expectation and the fulfillment. And he tells them, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching. But who does he give this mission to? He doesn't give it to the Pharisees. He doesn't give it to the scribes. Those who are well educated, those who have traveled, probably can speak many languages. No. He gives them to a bunch of uneducated, uninfluential fishermen, a tax collector, a political zealot. All of these are who Christ builds his church on and leaves with that message. And then he gives them a final promise. Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Well, is he going to stay or is he going to go? And all of this is happening at the same time as what we had read in Acts. Jesus is preparing his disciples for that new reality where he can both be gone and be right there in their midst. He promises them that the Holy Spirit would come to them, but they were wait for him. They weren't to go out and start their mission until he came. But the disciples still didn't understand. Lord, are you at this time going to restore Israel? They were still thinking of this worldly conquest. They're still thinking of this restoration of the Davidic kingdom. And Jesus doesn't rebuke them for that. But he tells them the time is not for you to know. When is in the Father's realm, they are to focus on their own mission, on bringing his word, on bringing the gospel to the ends of the world. His kingdom isn't of this world. It's not confined to the borders of Israel. It's the universal church, extending to all corners of the world. It is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. But then after giving them their mission, he is taken away. He is lifted up in this cloud and hidden from them. As Pope Benedict Emeritus writes in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, the reference to the cloud is unambiguously theological language. It represents Jesus' departure, not as a journey to the stars, but as his entry into the mystery of God. It evokes an entirely different order of magnitude, a different dimension of being. He enters into communion of power and life with God the Father, and into God's dominion over space. Hence, he's not gone away from us, but now and forever, by God's own power, he is present with us and for us. He's not gone away, sitting on some cloud or sitting on some faraway planet watching over Earth. He is right here. It's a metaphysical difference. It's a difference in our mode of existence. Gone, and yet right in our midst. It's this new kind of presence, and one that the disciples still don't grasp. So they're standing around looking up in the cloud, expecting him to come right back. And they go to wait, though, until Pentecost, when everything will change. St. Paul, in his second reading today, he speaks of Christ's ascension. He speaks of the gifts that we expect, that we've been given. These gifts of wisdom and understanding, that the hope and the riches of the glory will be theirs. His inheritance among the holy ones. The surpassing greatness of his power. All of these things that God did, all of these things that God gave to Christ, the head, are there for us, the body. They've taken place. The ascension isn't only something that we recite on Sunday in our creeds. It is the fulfillment of the promises made to Christ and are there for us. But just because they're ours doesn't mean we understand any better than the apostles. We believe and we can doubt. We know the promises and we await their fulfillment. But how do we live this? I think one way you can look at it is ask any child, ask any 9, 10-year-old, describe the best day you can ever have. And they're probably going to give you something that is a summer day, beautiful out, hanging around with their friends. Maybe they're in a baseball game and they beat a hated rival. Maybe they're out on a fishing trip and they catch a record fish. Maybe they get to stay up all night with their friends, staying over, watching a movie. Maybe they're on a skateboard park and they get to do a double back flip 360 pike thingy. Whatever it is, we're going to look at them as adults and go, yeah, the future is kind of shaky ground. But it's the same thing our parents said when they looked at us, when we would have described it. And when we describe something to them, something so great as an adult, a very special day, a wedding, a birth of a child, this day that a spouse, an uninterrupted dinner, whatever it might be, watching a grandchild receive some very special acknowledgments and honors, whatever it might be, a 9-year-old or 10-year-old is going to look at the adult and say, no, that just sounds kind of boring to me. What's so great about that? Well, there is the greatest day ever, and it is coming, and it's been prepared for us, because it is the day that God, who has prepared our hearts, has for us. We don't get to understand it. We don't get to see it in its fullness until we get there, but we know that it's there. It's the promises of the ascension. In our modern world, we're so confused. We've taken this beautiful feast of the ascension, and we've kicked it out. We put it off to a Sunday rather than the proper day of Thursday. We can ignore it. We cannot appreciate it for what it is. But we have heard the promise, and we know that it will come. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. The promises that he has prepared for us. We can't comprehend in its fullness what this is. But we do know that it is the fulfillment that Christ experiences today are there for us. His returning to the Father, his sitting at the right hand of the Father, not on some far off planet, but right here in our midst, closer to each and every one of us than our own heartbeat. He is right there. And that is the promise that we experience only in bits and pieces as we wait for its fulfillment when we are called to that heavenly banquet.